Turn to the book of Proverbs again, and we will be in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10 today, continuing our thing on there, the verses that we had, that where we had the intersection of all the verses we brought together through our reading of the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 10 were verses 11 and 12. And then verses 29 of chapter Proverbs chapter 10. So as we move on, we're in our 10th week of going through this. And so what we want to do as we study this is we want to take a look at those verses. And but first let's read the chapter and then we'll continue on. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Now that's, you've seen that twice now, a prating fool shall fall. That's something to pay attention to. When God mentions something twice, there's a reason for it. All right? When he mentions something once, it's set in stone, but when he mentions something twice, it bears looking into and thinking and pondering and meditating on all the more. He that walketh, verse 9, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." We're at verse 10. "He that winketh with the eye shall cause sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Verse 11, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitudes of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Now, when we look at these passages, there's so much in there that it talks about that we could look at. But these verses that we said that spoke to our hearts, we ought to take note of them as we look at these verses here. And like I said, the intersection that we had of the verses that were submitted through the reading of Proverbs through the month of January, verses 11 and 12 and verse 29, were the verses that stood out, and where we had the overlap between everybody who submitted the verses. And so we're going to take a look at these three verses this morning. And he says, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 and 12 say, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." And verse 11 and verse 12, they're actually very closely related in many ways. But he says, in verse 11, it says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." You know, Jesus told us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when we examine our speech, we also are examining what's in our hearts. And, go ahead, brother. All right. But anyhow, so when we examine our speech, we examine our hearts. And if you look at verse 11 and it talks about it, if you see the things, I gave you a long list of verses there that talked about what comes out of the mouth. All right. Proverbs 10:6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. And you'll find out, and you'll see that there are several verses in here that speak to our speech just in chapter 10 alone. Chapter 10, verse 14, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Proverbs 10:31, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out." Verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." Proverbs 11:11, "By the blessing of the upright the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." Proverbs 12:6, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." Proverbs 14, verse 3, "The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Proverbs 15:2, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Proverbs 15, verse 14, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on knowledge." Notice that they talk about the heart and the mouth together here yet once again. He says the heart of chapter 15, verse 28, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Proverbs 19, verse 28, "An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, but the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity." Proverbs 22 and verse 14, "The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein." Proverbs 26:7, "The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools." In Proverbs 26:9, "As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, So is a parable in the mouth of fools. So we look at that and we talk about this picture of what comes out of the mouth of the wicked versus the mouth of the righteous. And as we look at this, and as we study this, you see how much that goes into what Jesus talks about, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the idea, if you look at this on a right thing, we can look at ourselves in the moment and say, what are we, by the way we're speaking, by the things we say, by the things we do, how are we behaving? Are we behaving righteously? Or are we behaving wickedly? We can use that as a guide, but you look at this passage of Scripture and you look at what happens, and people that love the Lord and people that know the Lord and that they want to do God's will, it impacts the way they speak. It impacts the way they speak. It doesn't bypass that. You know, there's a lot of people, we talk about loving the Lord, but then we spend our time speaking and talking about things we have no business talking about. Or talking in a manner we have no business talking. And all the things we're warned about, gossip and lies and stirring up strife and everything like that, we can all be part and parcel of that if we allow the flesh to take control. You know, it used to be I didn't have any trouble cussing and cursing. Cursing and bitterness was under my tongue the whole time. I didn't have any problem with saying filthy words. And profane words and profane things. I didn't have any problem with it. I didn't have any problem lying. I didn't have any problem gossiping. I didn't have any problem with any of those things. I didn't have problems with that. I do now. But yet even now, even though I have a problem with it, if I get in the flesh, I can find myself getting close to going there again. And that's where a lot of people, they don't understand. And so what comes out of your mouth is just indicative of what's in our heart at a given moment. Or, and if there's never a desire to correct that when we find something is wrong, then maybe the problem is that what's coming out of your heart is just the condition of it. And so something to think about. And he says the mouth of the righteous covereth is a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And we can also talk about that. It's a well of life. It gives life. It brings. It's a blessing. And we can take that over to soul winning. Do you share the gospel with anybody? A righteous man's mouth ought to be a well of life. You know? And so there are several things that we could use there and look at that. And then verse 12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And by the way, hatred and love at some point have to come out of the mouth, don't they? I mean, it just makes a difference. It has to go into what we do and what we say. And it's important that we say the things that are that way. There have been a multitude of marriages break up because a man does all the things that he's supposed to do, but he never expresses the love. And it causes problems in a marriage. And they... Because it's not said, people assume it's not felt. And it causes difficulty. And of course, if there's hatred, it always stirs up strife, doesn't it? Because when hatred is in there, then nothing but negativity and nothing but garbage and nothing but conflict and everything come out of the mouth. Nothing but accusations, nothing but no desire to build up, but just a desire to tear down. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And love is what covers our sins. You know, there's a song that some fellow over, and I think he's in Ireland, wrote. It's called "How Deep the Father's Love." And the second verse of it says, "Behold the Lamb upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scorners or scoffers." And it says, "It was my sin that nailed Him there until it was accomplished." But truly, it wasn't our sin that nailed Him there. It was His love that nailed Him there. It was His love that held Him there. He bore our sins, but He didn't have to. He said, "No man taketh my life. I lay it down of myself," right? He said, "I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again." When they tried to save Him from the people in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Put away thy sword. Think not that I cannot call unto my Father, and He'll presently send 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" So there's no way that you can look at the cross and say it's just our sin. Yes, he died for our sins, most certainly. But it wasn't the nails that held Him there. It was His love for us. And that love covers the multitude of sins, doesn't it? And so when you look at this, when we talk about when it's hatred stirreth up strife, I don't think we have to really spend a lot of time talking about that. But when it says love covereth all sins, just think about that. Love for God. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And of course we relate that to 1 John 1 9, right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we love God, if we love God the way we should, then we're going to want His mercy. We're going to want that. And God reciprocates by His love covering our sins. We want to be right with God, and so we confess our sin, and we have that desire to be right with God. We want to have a right relationship with God. If you love somebody, you want a right relationship with them. And so that love for God, and then His love covers our sins. And then love for man. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And then James 5:20 says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That love for man, that willingness to speak the truth in love, that willingness to try to get people to walk rightly, to try to help them on the right way, and the willingness to forgive, for us to forgive sins of our brothers and sisters, to forgive one another. You know, in what people call the Lord's Prayer, after that Jesus said, "If you forgive sin, men, their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive them." So we'll forgive your trespasses. We're to forgive as we expect to be forgiven. And even in the book of 1 Corinthians, when Paul told them to get rid of that one, to deliver that man that was committing heinous fornication in the church, to kick him out and deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. After that, he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, I wrote to you about that. He said, now I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him, that you ought rather to forgive him, lest he be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. He obviously, that telling him he was no longer welcome in the church made an impact on his life. And he said, hey, this is destroying my life. It's destroying my relationships. And he repented. And that's who we assume he's talking about. But somebody repented. And Paul said, you ought to forgive him. And you ought to confirm your love toward him. And don't let Satan take the advantage of us, because we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not supposed to do that. So we study the scriptures and we look at that and we see the picture of that, of love hiding a multitude of sins. Love makes a difference. Hatred has an outcome. So does love. And the reality is that that when we look at these passages of scriptures, we see these things, and when hatred comes out of our mouth, it all it does is bring sorrow, it brings strife, it brings problems. But if love comes out of our mouth, well, that's part of being the mouth of the righteous, is a well of life. So we see the relationship between those. And then we go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. It says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. You know, when you begin to truly serve God and do the things that you're supposed to do and try to find out the will of God, and you start out by doing the things that you just find in the scripture, that this is what I should do, this is what I should not do, this is God's way, this is the way, and this is the way I handle this circumstance, and this is the way I shouldn't, this is the way I respond to men, this is the way I shouldn't. When we begin to do that, that very way itself becomes our strength. It imparts strength to us. Have you ever noticed that when we acquiesce to sin in one area, it becomes easier to sin in another area? Have you ever noticed that? And likewise, doing God's will imparts strength. Because as I learn and get the victory over something in my life, as I meet my next challenge, I have a track record of victory. I have a track record of strength. I have a track record of experience with God, knowing that God's grace is sufficient. So the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. But then it says, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. You know, we got so many passages of scriptures when we talk about destruction and the things that lead to this and the workers of iniquity. I wrote down some 8 more verses that talk about destruction and the type of iniquity. And some of this also relates back to the use of your mouth, what comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So if you take care about what you say, it helps. If you just blurt whatever comes out, it's going to cost you. Pride, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 17:19, he that loveth transgression He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. So if you love to fuss and fight, and you love strife, and you love to cause controversy, that's a problem. Well, you go to what we call what the theologians will often call the Beatitudes. One of those is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, right? We ought to desire that which is good and right, and we ought to desire, we shouldn't love strife. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Once again, Proverbs 21:15, it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Matthew 17:13, when we talk about salvation and a person trying to look at eternal life and how to be right with God and how to be reconciled to God, Jesus tells us, enter ye at the straight gate, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And then 1 Timothy 6:9 talks about covetousness and desire to be rich, but they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So when you're a covetous man and your desire is to be rich, it's going to cost you, because your desire and your focus of your life is not going to be where it ought to be. And so there's nothing wrong with being rich, but if that's the desire of your heart, it's going to cost you. If it's a matter of covetousness. And so these things drown men in destruction and perdition. This is not the only thing. Smart people don't run around and gamble all their money away and everything like that and hope to get rich by the gambling, but men's covetousness does lead them to the gambling halls, doesn't it? And what ends up happening? And all you have to do is look around here when they open the casinos, how many businesses went under. Do you ever notice that after they opened the casinos, there were a lot of businesses went under? People got into that, and there are several places where the businesses changed hands or they went belly up all along the coast. And you know why that was? Because people were covetous, and they got, their life was pretty much destroyed. Their livelihood, everything. So when we look at that, when we look at all of these things, when we look at these verses, I could spend a long time talking about it. But here's the reality and here's the truth about these verses. There's so much here that we ought to take time and just think on. I could take these verses and I could apply them to just about any area of life. I could take the time and we could use these verses as a means by which to judge ourselves, by means with which to correct ourselves, by means which to see error in ourselves. And it makes a difference. So the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. When you and I, we desire the way of the Lord, it becomes our strength. It strengthens us. You know, a lot of times I have talked to people, and so oftentimes, and people I've known and everything like that, and they'll come to me and they'll tell me, "Preacher, you just seem to have it all together." First of all, they don't see every day of my life, do they? They just see a little bit of me anyway. But they look at the things, and I've had people look at my life and the things that have gone on and the blessings of God on my life and everything like that. And they say, "Oh, you know, I wish I could have that." It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. I mean, you have Christians today. If somebody comes up there and puts a beer in their face, they may have a difficulty in refusing it. I have no difficulty in refusing it. I don't have any need for that. If you ask me to go to a place that I'm not supposed to go, I'm not going to sit there and say, "Oh, I'm not going to debate about it. That's done. The decision's been made." There are things that you cannot tempt me with, that other people struggle with on a daily basis. But it didn't start out that way. It didn't start out that way. And part of my job as a pastor is to show you that following the Word and will of God works. That the Word of God works. That it does what it says it does. I'm to be an example of the believers. Like Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. So, there's the whole point. But people think that I got saved and I was just this way. It didn't start that way. But as I followed the will and way of God, it became that way became my strength, gave me strength. So that's something to think about too. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close till the morning preaching. Father, we thank you for this time we've had together. Lord, help us to desire your way and your will above anything. Help us to pay close attention to what's coming out of our mouth and not seek to justify it, but rather seek to have a heart that produces that which is good and that which is a well of life. And Lord, help us to desire your way above all other ways. Help us to understand that your ways are higher than our ways. And help us, Lord, to desire those higher ways. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.